All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a green tea or three. So many things that we can't wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drives it to the cup?
The first Aussie to notch back-to-back triple-doubles up.
Will Luzada try harder for last year's runners-up?
Well, I hope he's trying for Zion since the Pals called him up.
Will Magnaze had his sights on the NBA?
He's such a nice guy to let DD play.
But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay.
They don't need another import anyway.
We love Space Cam double doubles and 4-point shots from Bubbles.
And how he pretends to throw balls at refs without getting into trouble.
The great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch.
And how Dane might be so cheap he'll make fantasy coaches rich.
The Hawks signed a bloke named Justanian.
Well, they didn't, but he's better than a certain Australian.
And next year we'll love the Tasmanians.
And by then, we might like the fantasy game again. So brace for some calm and tranquility. It's time for some blokes positivity.
G'day listeners, you're back with Benny and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. So I guess there's only two green teas, not three, Benny.
That's all right. That's okay. It's nice. I'm nice and relaxed. We're putting last week behind us on this positivity pod. I don't know about you, mate, but I've found a handful of chakras over the weekend that I never knew I had. Mm-hmm. And feeling good about things now. Banksy sadly couldn't join us.
But, no, we're over Skype at the moment. Everyone's got sickness in the household.
Yep, so being
we've had
safe.
All different bouts of sickness. So, and I'm very nasally still, so I apologise for my terrible tones. I know my tone's generally not that flash, but it's pretty average at the moment. And mine's, at the moment, I'm not drinking not tea.
Okay. And look, I think your tones are going to be pretty good. You'll get a bit of a preview. We've done a few... words of wisdom for every club later on, which you'll get in the cribs. Proverbs, like, I don't know how ancient they are. We're going to call them proverbs from the oracle generally. I guess we've struggled to plan things, mate, and our plans haven't gone well with Banksy, and neither has the NBL scheduling plans gone well thus far. We finally had another update because I know it's the positivity pod, but one positive we don't want is COVID positive. And of course, that's messed a few things up. But we've got the schedulizer on basketballblokes.com/schedule. Boydie, what can you tell me about it?
I can tell you that it's a bit all over the shot, isn't it? There's triples, there's doubles, there's singles. There's obviously a zero this week with the Hawks. The changes, there's too many that I keep forgetting, but they've had to put a game in, obviously, for Perth and Brisbane to make up for a game that they've lost previously, and Cairns and Phoenix as well.
That's right. So across these next two rounds, it was an even schedule apart from the Hawks. Like, it was everyone played one game apart from the Hawks, and then initially everyone had played two games, but we've got both Perth and Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in the short term now with an additional triple as well. And while we're on the Phoenix, I guess that their schedule is then a bit weird.
Weird.
Having the triple followed by two singles and finishing up with a triple. So correct. For those single people,
this week, but yes, then the triple, single, triple.
That's right. So if you're looking just broadly about Southeast Melbourne at the moment, would you have anyone in your team who isn't Mitch Creek?
No.
No? I kind of feel that way as well. So if we're looking, it's going to be interesting on those weeks. We're going to have to find, we're back to finding that small forward backup that's going to have this good schedule to fill in for Creaky whilst he's on those singles. And that's going to, could be a big difference between the results of teams, because there's not really anyone putting their hand up. I think we'll probably have some questions about that later on. So,
yeah, I guess the only one to look at, and we'll mention him a bit later, is Sykes, because he ripped it up earlier in the year. And then obviously injuries have struck him, but we're not allowed to talk about that because it's a positivity pod.
He's healed.
He's healed. So there's one that positive you want to talk about. And then the only other one I could have a small risky bisky hit with is Brokoff. But once again, too risky at the moment.
Yep. And I guess that we will have four more weeks of data before we need to know if you're going to try and bring them into your grand final teams in round 21 if you need to make it there. So, and speaking of a positive, Banksy, can you believe it, who's not here, finally got the top bloke of the week. So that probably tells you that last week was a little bit backwards, and we can't unfortunately talk about our scores, Boydie, because it is a positivity week, but just the first proverb I've gotten, it just, when I was looking up some of these proverbs, it just reminded me of Banksy, and it was from the great Thomas Edison, who said, "I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that do not work." And finally, he has found the one that works.
And Banksy had a couple of quotes this week. He said, "Cream rises to the top finally."
Yes. And then,
although that's probably paraphrased a little bit, because he did say that on our private chat that we keep between the three of us. And he also mentioned to me, I think he said he smashed us was the quote. I'm not sure if you...
Not even close.
Yeah, something like that. And so what was it? 54 points in the end to our average bloke.
And I guess we do have to talk about last week, and it's going to be difficult to do that in a positive manner, but Banksy kind of got us off on the right foot when he was talking about Jock Landale, his number one captain choice for the round. And he said, without his injury, JLA would not have had such a great score. So on behalf of the blokes, thank you, Jock, for last week, because Banksy finally got his top bloke. So
that's it. Banksy had his JLA sitting on his bench forever, and obviously had 140, 150-odd-ish. So, worked out good for the old fella.
How else can we shed a positive light on some of these other Breakers players, mate?
The only one I've got is... Finn Diesel, more like Finn Hybrid, I guess. Much better for the environment, so thank you, Finn.
Yeah, true. The player I brought in instead of JLA was Levi Randolph, and I'm just going to say thanks very much to Levi Randolph for not playing that third game, because at least he didn't have another negative score, which he's shown the propensity to do. So thank you very much, Levi. Very positive about things this week. One thing that we haven't got a positive result on as yet is Levi's hamstring injury, and I guess that's a good way to kick off the injury news, Boydie.
Dr. Boyd, if you want to refer to him as that, drove me home, got me onto the couch, put my leg up, twisted every which way you could twist. There was nothing wrong with it.
Oh, that's a gross fabrication of the story. We don't have an update for Levi yet. That's correct. So we had players returning this round. So obviously you would have seen it in the Cairns game. Majok Deng returned. Ty Webster returned for the Breakers, as well as Justinian Jessop for the Hawks.
Yep, that was good to see. And we've got some news about players that have come back this week. As we mentioned before, we had Kiefer Sykes returned. And Pete has sent us in a question, mate.
100% Sykes back. I haven't seen that one. Sorry.
Yep, update. Good, so...
I like it. Pete Stone, when do you think BJ from Brisbane will play?
And updates on that tonight. He has been moved to the active roster. He's been training with the team. There's every indication that he will take some part in the game. I think this is the trend that we've seen, that they play a small reduced minutes. He's got an interview on Brisbane Bullets social media. Check it out. It very much sounds like he's going to try and just fit in as best he can for these first game or two. And I guess we'll see how he goes from there. I wouldn't be recommending trading him in this week. Consequences for Lamar Patterson potentially down the track. But I really like the look of BJ. I didn't think he's going to suck, that's for sure. So players are healing, Boydy?
Before we go into that, I guess there's going to be some coaches that might take a little bit of a risky-bisky approach there. And I guess good luck to them in getting a good BJ.
Yes, indeed.
Healing players. Moving right along. Cam Bairstow for the Hawks had a little bit of a whisper that he was training the house down from a eagle-eyed person.
Okay.
In Hawksland. Kendall Stevens possibly back. Xavier Cooks.
Still healing.
Glover, still healing. Brokoff.
Out.
Might wear it. Is he out?
Yes, yeah, confirmed out.
I was talking about wearing a face guard thing or eye guard today. Okay.
Yeah. Glidden? We're going to get face guard broke off. Can you just imagine? It's going to be like a superhero character in a couple of weeks.
Sick. Glidden? Is he out?
He's out with a hip. Oh, he will miss this week. So sound so surprised about your own segment, mate.
No, I wasn't up to date with that one, actually. And Dinga Dell.
That's right. So Dinga Dell obviously got released after his injury, and we haven't had an injury update, and he's not yet signed with the club. So it'd be interesting to see if he does find a landing spot that will work for him. But on someone else.
Note, hang on a positive note. Before we move on there, we've already seen this year someone go from the wilderness into playing into a little bit of form with Lamar Patterson. In the wilderness with the Breakers to start the year. Not getting good minutes, not playing well, not part of that team really, didn't really gel. Neck minute back in Brisbane land, and he's starting to show that old Lamar Patterson that we all know and love and fantasy coaches love out there. So really hoping that Dinga Dell gets another chance there. You know, talent, we've seen his talent. You know, you don't get picked for a boomer squad if you're a slouch basketball player, let's be honest. So
yeah, look, and when I think that the majority of his play has to do with what's going on between his ears, I think a fresh start can only help, that's for sure. So someone, though, who has got a fresh start back in the NBL, of course, is Will Magne.
Boy, two-way.
Huge news.
Massive.
And he's in the system. So do you want to share his price and positioning?
3-4 mil is his price. So obviously he had a good end to his season last year, Benny.
That's right. So interestingly enough, they've priced him at his season-ending price from last season, which is, I think, unusual. Normally it's based on the average. By looking at basketballblokes.com and those prior year averages, I have seen that he averaged 41.38 in his last 13 games. So even though he averaged 32.3, he did come home with a bang. And do you know what happened? I'll take you back. I traded him out. That's another thing. I traded him out after a score. God, I've got the link here. Let me bring it up. A score of 6. And he was coming up against Big Bogut the following week, which he's subsequently had a score of 76. So, and then eventually we got him back in after a great run of scores, and he ended up performing poorly for me again. So I've cursed him in the past. So it'd be interesting to see if it happens again. But another watch and see, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a quote in there that Banksy might have had on the goat he was going to talk about that. I believe he was on Olgan's.
Yeah, I listened to that
podcast you did, and there was something along about Magne said something along the lines of gradually easing himself in, learning the system, etc.
Yeah,
paraphrasing again, sorry, but so it sounds to me like he's going to take the time to get into the, you know, I'm not sure he's going to be playing 30 plus minutes straight away.
Yeah, and I'd suggest that'd be the case, especially with the way they've been going.
That's it. And is there a risk here to the Moondog?
I was going to discuss
There's only so many boards that can go around. Are we allowed to talk about this in the positivity pod or not?
Yeah, it's positive about Magne, right?
It is, yeah.
So, and if Mooning loses a couple of boards, he'll probably still get double doubles and average 60. So,
it's not the end
of the world. So, I think when you look at the style of play, first thing that come to mind is that with Magne now, they do get rebounding, which is great. But they get shot blocking. That's the one thing that Mooney, I think he was good at changing shots, but doesn't, I could just imagine see the highlights now of third man up, Magne just coming in, swatting shots after the brick wall, Mooney stops anyone going by. So it's going to be an ideal duo. It'd be interesting to see. I was listening on that podcast. Magne said he's been working on his three-point jump shot a lot. He didn't get many minutes. He was running around on one leg while he was over in the States. They decided not to give him the ankle surgery. So he's going to play through it. So let's see. Let's see how it goes. Awesome for Wildcats fans. Given he's been signed after they demolished United, I'm going to ask Boyd, who were you actually barracking for in that game?
Jock.
Jock? Just individually, just the one player?
Yeah, Jock.
Okay. No, I was actually barracking. That was one of the first games I've ever barracked for Perth, to be honest.
Actually, I think I was barracking for Macca because that was the difference between you and I, mate, I believe. So,
Well, that's very true.
So I was rooting for my boy Macca and he came good in the end. Oops, yep. I'm not meant to talk about that, sorry. Well, that is positive for me.
Yes, very good. So, yeah, that's, I guess, probably all we need to touch on for Magne for now on the news front. And might perhaps you'll come up in captains a little bit later on. So what we wanted to do on this positivity pod is spread the positivity. We've got some proverbs coming up here. We're all going to discuss something positive about each club quickly before we get onto your questions. So let's go.
The way to overcome Melbourne Bubbles is with Triple Doubles.
Okay, Boyd, you're very right. The way to be overcome Melbourne Bubbles is with Triple Doubles and multiple Triple Doubles, as we've seen with Josh Giddey. But I'm not going to touch on that as my first positive. Saw a tweet the other day that Adelaide had a 7,000 crowd on a Tuesday night. Now, that's sensational, particularly with what we've got going on in Melbourne at the moment. Numbers significantly lower than that. Awesome. I think you can run the jokes about what else is there to do to Adelaide, but, you know, I've heard that a bit. But have we – the first thought that came to mind was with LaMelo last year. Wherever he went, because of his celebrity, everyone would want to go see the biggest crowd in history against Sydney last year. Now, Giddey hasn't had that same impact because of the celebrity, but I feel like to the Adelaide fans, he's – on that level. They do not want to miss him when he's playing. And I did listen as well to Liam Santamaria's Huddle podcast with John Casey. It could very well be, Liam said he'd be shocked if Giddey plays past this weekend. So bear that in mind when you're future planning for your fantasy team. But if you can check him out while you're in Adelaide or wherever he plays, while he's still here, we need to get on board, I think. It's tremendous effort for Adelaide.
Loved it, and shout out to our the basketball babe. Ruby was there at the game and sending us pictures of the crowd before the game, before the tip-off, so it looked huge. So shout out to Adelaide, and as you say, the Melbourne needs to learn a little bit something from those at the moment. And I, for one, I've been sick, like I said, so I actually haven't been to a game for a little while, so I'm one of those people to blame. I think... not down there, but positive for me is the hump coming back, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, you know, having the whole squad there, I reckon they're starting to build a bit nicely. I know they're not mathematically out, so wait and see, but they're actually playing some pretty decent ball as a team now, I think, with the full kit and caboodle there.
Yeah, not sure about what the contract situation is with Humphreys, but it might mean because of this injury that he didn't keep going back on that tear that he was on, and maybe that means that Adelaide or someone in the league will get to keep him next season. So two massive positives for Adelaide. Let's move on.
Sometimes you may lose your will and break the law, but you must move on and say, so be it.
Don't mind that one.
It's some of your best work there, mate.
I don't think I wrote it, mate.
you sent the clips over and it said Enya, so that was the vibe, that was your inspiration. So some positives for Brisbane, mate. Why don't you go first?
I think Sobey. I mean, it's probably the easiest one to say, isn't it? But
I don't think we can understate it,
no,
to be honest.
He's been, I guess, one of the things, and you know, we've talked about it in the past, that it maybe consistency with him on a fantasy level. You know, he's had a triple double and 100 single game score in previous seasons, but he's been fairly consistent. I haven't got it in front of me, but what's his low for the year? I mean, we're not meant to be talking about that, but 21. So I guess that's still a little bit low, but I think he's been. And even of late, he's been quite consistent. Some 60s, lots of 50s, he had a 26, but, you know, been balling out for the fantasy coaches that have retained the faith in him.
Yep, and I think we were all sceptical when he first went to Brisbane with Lemanis, who has, if you haven't heard the news, going to coach in Japan next season, but that he would get into that. It was for getting into that Boomer squad, but, I mean, there's no doubt at the moment the way he's played that he should be in that squad, and it'll be interesting to see if he can finish the year strongly. Now, my positive is a player, Tamari Wignes-Boyd. I actually think that he showed some positive signs of late, and I think he can probably stick in the league as a backup point guard. Okay. What are your thoughts? Still a bit of work?
Yeah, I haven't seen too much of him, okay, to be brutally honest. I noticed he's been getting more minutes,
yep,
lately.
He played excellent against Sam. That was, I don't know if you got to watch us play deplorably against Brisbane the other week, but yep. Wignes was really good. Obviously, he's not going to, it could be a liability defensively, but gaining confidence, his shot's looking better, can get to the cup at will. And really positive that can be a backup point guard spot locked up for Brisbane for time to come.
He's one that I'd probably watch with BJ coming in, though. They need to put, they need to get 20 plus
correct
minutes,
yep,
in somewhere.
Yeah.
Before round, I don't know, Wignes started playing about round 10 or 12 or 11 or whatever it was. So, and he's played, yep, pretty solid minutes from
not
there.
Not suggesting bringing him into your fantasy team this year,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, no, but he's one to keep an eye on because he's still relatively cheap for future seasons for sure.
Yep. All right, next up.
Whilst injuries can annoy and you'll be tempted to say, dang it, take a tad of time to feel like a king and you'll soon be jumping for Joyce.
Okay, one player that Cairns will be jumping for Joyce for will be Jordan Nartai. Now, Nartai is, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Boyd. you had, I can't remember how you tried to do it last week, but and Gat and something like that. But anyway, that 45% is obviously elite. In fact, I have to ask the question, is he in fact a better shooter than Steph Curry? Obviously not, but just for some perspective, that's the clip that he's shooting at. Been very impressed with the way he's stepped up given all the injuries, and look, I just think that going forward, he was someone at United who I didn't know if he'd even stick in the league, and now even with the smaller rosters, I think that he's definitely like a sixth or seventh man that can ideally stick in the league for years to come. So I bet you're positive for Cairns, mate.
I'm going to go the Duff man.
Absolutely.
He's come in and just played his brains out, basically. And I think he's pretty much, he's gone from the wilderness to he's guaranteed a gig somewhere as probably a backup point guard and deserves those minutes now.
Yep.
He's been putting, even Kenny to shame, and Kenny's been around this league for a long time. He's played on some very good teams, and I think he's sort of showing him up at the moment a little bit.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm bringing Duffman into my team this week.
Ooh, Duffman.
Yeah. So nice.
Don't mind that.
Talking some fantasy just quickly. Like if you got Sean Bruce at the moment, like myself and Banksy had, I just think they're going to average the same now, and it's at a bigger discount, so I'm taking the cash and running.
What's the price of him at the moment? Still about 400 grand?
Five now.
Oh, 500, okay.
Yeah, but still get a little cash grab and lets me get Sobey into my team from Samson. Ooh. So speaking of Samson.
Defend your name at all costs. If your confidence is dented, you may think you have had all you can bear. Say nah, give your max, and everything will be all white.
Okay, of course, the Samson plays for the Illawarra Hawks. Now, I don't know if you're going to choose Samson as your positive, Boyd, but one of his teammates, maybe?
I haven't decided yet.
But haven't decided? Well, I'll discuss what I was going to discuss.
Before you're going to say that, though, I was going to say that that proverb's sounding very sort of horoscope, reading 1-800 numbers, $4.95 a minute. I think I've missed my calling.
dare say it's something to do with the stars, mate, the horoscope. And that's my positive for Illawarra being the next stars program. Not just Justini and Jessup, but I don't care what they... I think Lamello has to be a positive for the profile, the future 100%. Of the program going 100%. Forward. Like, if you... I think JJ will make an impact for Golden State next year as a absolute Great. Sniper. And if that's the case, if you're a next star, all right, so question one is, do I want to be a next star and go to the NBL? Yes. Well, I'm going to go where Lamello and JJ played, please. Yep. So that's where I see it sitting. I think it's been a tremendous positive for them.
Yep. What about yourself? They're going to be two from two for the next stars, which is going to be, you know, put them right up there. And I think if Gorgon signed multiple years, wasn't it? You know, you're going to be playing for the Hall of Fame coach
Absolutely.
In the NBL, you know, et cetera. I guess Samson probably is the one you need, is probably the positivity. And I could go the easy way out fantasy-wise and say Harvey. And for God's sake, can we sign Harvey? Can someone sign Harvey for next year in this league? He's just a legit scorer. I see him as a bit of a Cotton light. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know Cotton's got more to his game, you know, but Cotton's the best player in this league. And I think Harvey's, you know, could show signs that he could. He's just elite scoring, and his D's not too bad. Probably doesn't have quite the level of assist game that Cotton has, but I should go back to Sam Froehlich. I think at the start of the year, everyone was like, Sam Froehlich starting. You know, are they thinking? Are they these guys? These guys are bottom of the ladder. Yeah,
but that's right. Ex-NBA Cam Besto.
He needs to be most. He's got to be most improved, doesn't he?
Yeah, it'd be him or Hunter.
Oh, no, I think he's been more consistent than Hunter. I know Hunter's had some big games, but I think Sam Froehlich's been more consistent throughout the year. And same with the fantasy, if you want to talk about it fantasy-wise. You know, I'm kicking myself that I didn't have Samson at, what was he, 500,000 I think he started at. So
yeah, that's it. So
slide him into the bench and you would have had a fairly reasonable year, I would have thought.
Absolutely. Speaking of teams that are having a fairly reasonable year.
Don't set the bar low. Never be afraid of falling short. Money making is all white at the end of your day. It's a cool thing to have gold and land. Use it to your advantage.
Okay. Melbourne United. It's making money is all white at the end of your day, and Uday Baba is my positive. Just shows that you can get use the Asian player rule to get someone to produce. We've obviously got Kai Soto next year for Adelaide 36ers. He sounds developmental from a couple of podcasts I've listened to, but
doesn't matter.
Baba's serious contribution, particularly defensively. The fact that you get salary cap relief, he's not an import, all these benefits.
But how cool he is to watch as well.
Oh, it's all about excitement machine. It's all
about, these guys are all about eyes on, right? And I'm going to use the terminology I just use. They're almost like a LaMelo light, right? LaMelo had all the eyes from USA coming onto him. I don't know what his Twitter followers and all that crap was. Millions, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Isn't Baba the same with Japanese?
He's a national team member, so...
Well, isn't he the best player on the national team?
No, he's not quite to that standard. There's a few ahead of him at the moment, right. No doubt. Okay. But still, it's you're talking basically a boomer equivalent, so...
Correct. And the hype around him, especially when he signed, they had, like, you know, press conferences over there and all, so, you know, huge. Yep. It was huge, right? And it's all about eyes. And same with Soto. Like, there's been... It's been in feeds
for Adelaide,
you know.
Yeah.
So
I've never seen so many likes on a post ever.
The
Copper Car Soto.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
Okay, mine for them is probably going to be. Look, I want to keep it positive, so I won't mention the other young big.
Yeah.
But Mason Peeling, I guess DP coming in.
Great choice.
He's come in, you know, under bad circumstances. We're not going to talk about that positivity. But he's shown that he can be a really good let's say, backup big man in this league. You know, he's been starting, but he's been in, and I'm trying to think of games where he's been convincingly beaten. Now, there's probably going to be moments in games where he's convincingly beaten.
Like a Hodgson dunk.
Yeah, that's right. But I think he's held his own, and that's awesome for a DP. And you know what? I know everyone talks about how stacked United are, and they are, but remember they're doing this with only one import. You know, you're not counting Baba. So, you know, and as I said, starting a DP at their four spot is a pretty fair effort for a team that won. Well, they had won 11 in straight, wasn't it, before Perth dismantled them the other day?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, Peatling is on that that great contract where they come in as a DP and then they get the guaranteed. So he's on the roster for next season. Signed up.
Peeved, I reckon. Because I reckon he would have made a bit more money if he was gonna. Was it only for 1 year?
Like, we're going to have expanding rosters next year as well, with everything going well. Like, if you're United and, look, Jack White and Mason Peatling, they're your four men for combination for years to come, all going well. All right, next up.
Cast as many webs as you can, because when hope is thin and you're feeling low, you will want as many people as possible to have your bark to assist.
Okay, positives for New Zealand. Really tough year for New Zealand, but have you got any positives to discuss?
This one written there, mate. Abercrombie. Yep. Bloke's 33 years old, nearly 34.
Yes, great point.
He is just running amok with his defense more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he's having solid-ish scoring games, offensive games. He's not as prolific as he once was on the offensive side of things, but his defensive jobs have been huge, and I've really liked watching them.
Yep.
All sizes, where he played all
against
Cotton.
Sizes.
Oh yeah, he guards anyone. He's just an elite defender, and he's one of those players you hate watching when the tallbacks play against the Boomers, because you know he's going to shut down someone and do things that annoy you. He's one of those, you know, you love to have him on your side, you don't like to have him against you.
Yeah, that's true. It's that being said, though, just such a nice dude. Like, he's probably in my top five.
Seems awesome.
For opposition players. He's breaking all the records now. We're getting all the accolades coming through for him over the last couple of weeks. And highly recommend you listen to Dan Shamir's interview with Liam Santamaria on the Huddle podcast. Speaks glowingly about Tom and his leadership as well. One positive. Wasn't a positive last week, but a positive for next year is having a player option on Levi Randolph for next season. Shown glimpses with that consistency as well. I think that Levi Randolph will be a good player for the Breakers next season, and to have him under contract is a big plus.
I agree, mate. I like that a lot. And I think, he hasn't been here from the start. I think with a bit of preseason and all that sort of stuff under his belt with the team, you can tell as soon as he's been getting him a bit more into the rotation with plays and all that sort of stuff, he's been a lot better lately. So,
yep. All right. Next up, team that can't get much better lately.
As you traverse this life, there will be times when you need to rebound. Always remember that the moon will light the way and show you how.
All right, the Wildcats, mate. Now, you discussed Peatling before. I'm going to discuss Travers. Perth, United, two big spending clubs, but they do other things right in developing players. Travers is obviously the other development player who is on that guaranteed contract for next season. Great hair, great moustache, and can ball out. Generally difficult to like Wildcats players for those non-Perth supporters, but he's one that I just can't help but really like when he's out on the court. Obviously, his minutes have dried up, but that'll serve him well going into next season. And to have him under contract is fantastic for Perth fans.
Yeah, I think it's boring, but I'm going to have to go Cotton. I think he's just... I'll just watch in that game, watching against Melbourne United, he might not be the best every game, but he's the best player in this league. Legit.
Yep.
He must be the quickest or the second quickest player. His footwork is phenomenal. Yep. He plays great defense. He's just legit. It would be actually unfair if he does naturalize, to be honest.
Although, yeah, we're waiting for that. Yeah. Interesting discussion about Bryce and Thibault in the national team. I think
I'm afraid they have to go Thibault, mate. Just the defensive thing.
I don't think it's that. I think it's an age thing as well. Bryce will be. He might have one Olympics in him. That might be it. I think you invest for the future.
Yeah, I'm more on the side of things that what's that position like, the 12th man on the roster?
Probably.
I think you pick someone who has that ability to be an absolute stopper against NBA skilled players.
Yeah.
Cotton is awesome in defense, but he's you know, every week he's playing against NBL players. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference.
Yep.
It's one of those things where, you know, I don't like to shoot. I would be positive. Okay. You need to take the NBA guy over the NBL guy, and it's just as simple as that. And it's not might not be the best, most positive thing to say for the league, but I'm afraid that's just the way it goes.
Beautiful. All right, our boys are next, mate. Let's see if we can find something positive.
If the pretzel is making you thirsty, don't go back for more. The only refreshment comes from a creek, and the creek is running sore.
Okay, there's one obvious positive. It's the only negative about it is he's not on one of those guaranteed deals for next year.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about this.
Isaiah Liafa now has been playing at Kyle Adams' level, to be honest, for the last part of the season. There's lots of great discussion on NBL Twitter about the psychology of the point guard and knowing who's boss, who's the top dog and all that. But just been tremendous as a development player. Goodness, the price is going up, as Corey always says, and it's just been really awesome to see him play this year. Hopefully we can hold on to him for next year, Boyd.
Yeah, the thing with him as well is the defensive mindset too. I think his D is just incredible. Whereas Adnam, sometimes, you know, that can be what people say is less than positive, if we're talking positively. For me, it's a toss-up really for this one. I think Glidden's come back into form.
Great call, I think.
Almost write him off at the first few week rounds of the season.
And even last year, think of where he was coming from.
Exactly, and that's what you got to think. But I don't mind the pretzel either. Pretzel's come out of nowhere, starting, been really good, double-doubles here and there. And you know, he's been beaten some games, but this is his first year really as a pro, proper year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give some ups to that as well.
Yeah, interestingly, I think Clinton kicked into gear when Brokoff got signed. You know, it was one of those funny things.
He did, yeah.
Weird, so yes, he did. When we thought he'd struggle a bit, but...
All right.
Last one.
The hunter is valiant and cooks the Angus it catches, but be aware. Newly discovered injuries to the herd means they may soon run out of cattle.
All right, Sydney Kings, Craig Moir. Said he was going to be a top five small forward. He's, as my big call at the start of the year, he's certainly there. And he's been performing well. Still that great rebounder, great hustle player, and has been shooting the three ball very well in this Sydney team, which I've loved this year. Like we say in the clip that they're valiant, and I thought that was a great word to use for the Kings this year. They have been valiant. Let's see if they can hold on.
My one would probably be the recent play of Hutchinson. I'm going to change it up a little bit. He's just come out of nowhere and he's been getting a couple of minutes and he's actually shown he can actually ball a bit for one of the young guys. So not sure what his contract situation is. And he's obviously bogged down behind a few guards, although they've lost a few guards, but they've just picked up weeks. So
correct. Good
maybe
news.
That means that... Yeah, maybe that means he goes back to not playing, which is unfortunate because, as I said, I think he's shown a little bit young Hutchinson. The other one for me is J-Mart. They've got to get him in this, keep him in this league if we can. I mean, yep. I'm not sure that his form and injury form is going to get him other offers, you know, NBA offers or what have
you.
But
that's the positive of it, isn't it?
Yeah, positive is hopefully we get to keep him for another year. You know, I can see him developing into, you know, Space Jam 2.0 maybe.
Oh, there you go. So he'll be cheap like he's at Kmart and he'll be able to keep Jmart. Beautiful.
Nice.
Questions next.
Decent questions.
Let's do it. All right. So from Mark O, trade discussions. So thoughts on Harvey to Sobey and Blanche to Pato. So let's do Harvey has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sobey the best option this week?
I think he is. I think he's going to be the vanilla option.
And I agree, he's probably the best as well.
I think the second one's even going to be the vanilla option, to be honest, this round.
Okay, so Blanchfield and Patterson. Patterson was playing hurt, but the game before that looked really, really good. And he's someone that's schedule kind of works with Creek as well, if you've got Creek starting. So I don't mind the Blanche to Pato, and I don't mind keeping Blanche with that schedule either. If I'm
I'm not sure about Blanche. It's going to depend on how many points Magne is going to be getting and where they're going to come from as well. I'm not sure that Blanche loses those points.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to look more like a Besto and that, but he's not been scoring too much anyway. But yeah, I don't mind it.
All right. Now, I don't know how we're going to talk positively about these, but we're going to have to talk about which two to go from Chris Nenners out of Finn Delaney, Yanni Wetzel, and Corey Webster. Which to go? I think based on schedule, I'm thinking
Yanni
is first. Would you agree?
Yep, I think Yanni, and I'm biased because I've got Finn. I'm going to say Webster.
Yeah, I'd probably lean that way as well.
Plus, there's more competition for Webster's minutes with Ty, with Levi, with Abercrombie.
Talk to me about Finn, though. Like
McDowell White.
What happened?
He's just gone nowhere. He's gone wayward again. He's gone
what back happened? To I was honestly going to fade Finn for McCarron the whole. But it just seemed crazy. Like he'd been coming off a stack of 45s. Yeah. He was the must-get player. I don't know what had happened this week. I think one thing that we didn't really take into consideration was that murderer's row of opponents that they played last week.
United and Perth was tough.
United, Perth, and in fact, the Hawks, I think we sent out to the Patreon supporters, is like the third best. They're only giving up about 215 fantasy points a game over the last 9 games compared to like 200 for Perth, and for perspective, about 295 for Brisbane. So, wish I had gone the other way with that one. Question from Watto, Boyd.
All right, Watto, do we think positively about a rage trade of Finn to Hodgson? Same schedules and could be a point of difference. I don't mind it. If you want to go risky-bisky.
I like how he used the positivity word about that. Watto, thank you.
He obviously took note of our tweet about doing a positivity pod last week. Always watching and listening, old Peter Watkins. So we like that, Watto.
And he said that same schedule. It's actually not now.
Not. No, it's different.
So it's more advantageous to get Hodgie in.
It's correct.
So I kind of like.
I kind of like it as well. Just, you know, it's the question mark around a BJ.
Really for Hodgson, though?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Like I said, it's an import. You think he's going to have to come in and get 20 minutes here and there. So you're going to have to change it up a little bit. And, you know, that means that big rotation of Hodgson, Froling, and Harrison might have to drop a few minutes each sort of thing, you know, to make way to. And Pato might play the four, you know, and they might slide it around a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
You don't know. And this is a question that from Ruby Ann that has been haunting us, I think, with the. I think every week we've said not to start Jordan Hunter over whoever she's put in there. Mm-hmm. And this week it's Finn. And every week she should have started Jordan Hunter for the last couple. Delaney plays Perth again, right?
Yep. But Finn, but Hunter plays Adelaide and they got the big two in Adelaide. So it's real tough.
What I'd say, if you can separate, look at your league matchups, look at ownership. See if that's what you want to do as your point of difference this week. I think it's going to be super vanilla in lots of spots, in lots of teams. So
yeah, that's right.
That's a consideration.
Really like I actually really like that response, Benny. That's a very positive response, positive mindset. I like it.
Speaking of someone who's been playing positively last week and positively for Julian O'Brien, who had Brandon Paul on his bench and annihilated me. This is very positive for Julian O'Brien last week. Spicy 2K20, can Brandon Paul be a possible pickup option. I've got a little bit of news on him, but I'd like to know your thoughts first.
Well, I like it. He's averaging 48 over the last three, 43 over his last five. He seems to have really hit form. He's showing that skill and the talent of an NBA, you know, a player that's played NBA. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said before, with their full squad back and running plays and all that sort of stuff, I think he's primed for looking good.
He did miss practice today. John Casey reported in the Huddle podcast.
You set me up for that one,
he was, that he was ill, expected to play still.
Okay.
So keep an eye out on that. But
two singles to finish off doesn't help schedule-wise.
Well, this is the thing. I actually like that. This is my second point. So right. Adelaide, obviously, if you look at the schedule, they've got the fewest games left, but they're all nicely condensed at the front part of the schedule. So you can get Brandon Paul in knowing that you can get him out before your finals.
Yep.
So bear that in mind, that he's not a player that you really want to have if you're looking at league matches and finals, but still a good option. And it's just good to have good players on your damn team to watch, to be honest. So
he's actually one that you like watching as well, and I do.
Another question from him as well.
I can only have one.
Is Creek a must have? Nice quick one. Yes.
For this round and next round, yes.
And yes.
Maybe not.
And should he get rid of Levi because of an injury concern? That's still a watch this space, isn't it, Dr. Boyd?
Yes, we have. Hopefully we get some news before the game's on Sunday evening. So that's not the best, but...
I'm just benching him. It sounded minor. It was reported as a minor hamstring injury.
I'll bench him too.
Yeah, I'll just bench him. I really want to trade around to get Sobey in this week. So,
Without further ado.
And now it's time for Banksy's Captains. It's not Bernie or Boydie, so please don't at them. It's Banksy's choice, so he's in trouble. If his number one choice doesn't double.
It's not Banksy's Captains, mate.
It's not. We've got to get some different songs just in case.
How are we going to do this? Banksy had started a run sheet, which was very cute of him.
Mm-hmm.
It said, firstly, I am positive that I will not talk about last week's Captains. Good.
Not bad.
And that positively all teams this week are on the single except the Hawks, who do not play at all. And I don't see that as a positive at all, Banksy. You've missed the mark there on that one. But what I've done is I've quickly gone through, and I think that everyone could very well have the same starting six for the most part this week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be lots of Giddy, Bryce, Creek, Jock, Mooney, Sobey at six men.
Let's talk about them then.
Let's do it. So I've just got them in ascending reverse order against their previous scores. So start us off, Boyd.
Giddy up. Scores against the Kings of 26 and 49 for an average of 37. Last played in round six, though, and that was probably before he really hit his straps.
Yep. So there was a game in round four and round six. I mean, we had the man who shall not be named, Sloan Dock, millionaire, who was no longer a millionaire. In early on for that first game as well. So still not what you want to see. It's a feature of this week's captains.
Be a good point of difference, though, if you wanted to get down, you know. Triple-double form, obviously didn't get one last game, but, you know.
If this is the last week, as Liam said, he'll be shocked. This could be your last opportunity to play Giddy as your captain. He's been my vice captain for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, same with me.
And
could be that time. Could be that time. Although, you know, then he could come in and play 8 minutes and then that's it.
Speak positively. All right.
Sorry.
Jock, how we speak positively about Jock?
You'll have a massive 8 minutes, but then he'll be down. Jock, 45, 48, 23 versus Sem, which is interestingly, seeing as they give up so many points to bigs, an average of 38.66. I don't think you can go Jock, though, after the last couple of weeks. After last week, sorry. He was running awesome form, but I just don't think you can do it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, look, we love playing our premium big men against the Phoenix. They typically give up more points than anyone else and huge scores, like 20-20 games against Colton, all this sort of stuff. And to see those numbers, it's a bit surprising coming off a 2, which was for a win, and a 10. For Jock, I actually really like Jock this week as a post-hype sleeper. Wow. Hype was big last week. No one is going to have Jock this week. I sense a bounce back. He is definitely an option. I'd say he's a top two option for me.
Oof, not sure about that one. Bryce Cotton, 41, 58, 35, including an overtime game in that
playing
lot
New
as
Zealand.
Well. 44.66 average against New Zealand. We talked about it before. Abercrombie's defense is the one that worries me.
Mm-hmm. Not fantastic scores. And Bryce like was it. On, geez, that overtime game, he was on single figures at halftime.
Yep.
Yeah, before going absolutely ballistic. So can't rely on that.
Nope.
Cannot rely on that. Someone who might be more reliable is Nathan Sobey, who has been performing pretty well last week. He's plays Cairns this week and has scored 50 and 49, nice and consistent, average of 49.5 against the Taipans. So,
regardless between scoring against the Taipans lately, Benny, do you know?
The Taipans have been running their pace really slowly. So... They're not actually conceding that many fantasy points at the moment. Okay. But if you just look at the individual matchups for Cairns, Machado, he's not putting in that. I don't think that same level of defense that
he seems to be giving away the best defender gig, doesn't he? A lot.
I find that to be the case. Yeah. I don't really think there's anyone that stops him. And when you think that, what's Sobey going to do? He's going to attack the paint a lot, and if Big Nate gets in foul trouble, they've got no one.
Correct. Don't mind it. Interestingly, one comes up as the second here. You can talk about this one.
Okay. John Mooney plays New Zealand as well. Now, the good thing about the Perth guys is that they've had three of their last six games against New Zealand, so we've got really recent form. 41, 55, and 68. Now, that 41 was the injury game where he rolled his ankle in the first quarter and hobbled around. Interestingly, none of these scores were double-doubles. So 55, 68, not double-doubles, I think shows heaps of upside. Average of 55, which is one of the better ones that we've got in this list here. I think he's the safest, and depends if you want to play the chalky play, it would be Mooney this week.
And the last one, although probably might not be the last one we mentioned, but the last one is the throwdown specialist, Mitch Creeks, 53 and 64 in the two previous showdowns this season for an average of 58.5. Could you?
You could.
Recent form's not that flash coming off
not
a couple
that flash,
of 30s, isn't it?
Massive freshen up, I think, for the Phoenix boys with the way the schedule's been.
And I think after that last game, they're gonna come out firing, wouldn't they?
Yeah, look, if Keith is back and he's playing well, hopefully that opens things up for Creaky. But I think he's gonna be dominant. Yeah, I honestly don't mind it. Of his starting six, he's got the highest average against his opponent. So if you're running straight off the numbers, why wouldn't you? And just one final sneaky mention. Who really difficult. Brisbane, as I mentioned earlier, give up 295 fantasy points a game, far more than anyone else over the last 9 rounds. And they're playing Cairns. No one's scoring for Cairns. The only one would be Scott Machado, who had 67 and 44 with a nice average of 55.5 against Brisbane so far this season.
Form's not great though. 30 average last 3, 26 average last 5. So just be wary.
Yeah, it's...
But like we said, lots of vanilla teams.
Trade
out there.
Target even.
Yeah, lots of vanilla trades out there. Sorry, not lots of vanilla teams out there. So this might be the week where you need to differentiate yourself if you want to get up there.
All right. Now, all things going well, we might get Banksy to tweet these out with his ranking. It's not Benny and Bordy, so please don't at them. That is the line of the story.
Correct.
So that's what we're sticking to. But they're the numbers. All right, Bordy, you want to wrap us up?
As always,
fashion.
That's right. You can always find us positively on Twitter. At @bball_blokes on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, or basketballblokes.com, your number one source of NBL fantasy information. See y'all.